This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Faithful listeners to this program will know that we've been doing a regular series with Jim Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic magazine, and his wife, Deb, the past couple of years. They fly around the United States in their own small plane. We go along from time to time, pulling together what we learn into a project called American Futures. Jim's got the cover story in the March edition of the magazine about the key lessons small cities and towns in this country have to teach us. Jim, it's good to have you back.
Kai, thank you.
It has been 3 years that you and Deb have been flying around this country. Give me the thumbnail statistical sketch. How many cities do you think?
We've stopped in about 50 cities at least overnight. There's about two dozen of them where we've gone back repeatedly, usually for about 2 weeks. And there's quite a few where we've met up with you and your team.
That's right. You start, though, in San Bernardino. With obviously what happened there a couple of months ago and how it resonated with you. Tell us that story.
Yeah. So the places we've been, San Bernardino, which is right next door to the place where I grew up in Redlands, California, is one that really stuck with us because objectively, it's about as difficult a situation as any city in the country. Economically, all their bases of sustenance have been removed in the last 10 or 15 years. And politically, it has a kind of unique logjam that has put the city into bankruptcy. And so we had spent over this past year a lot of time in San Bernardino talking about people who had some idea about whether there was any hope for the place.
And it literally was people deciding they were going to have meetings on civic affairs.
There's this wonderful group called Generation Now. It's a group of people very diverse in race. You know, San Bernardino is a majority-minority city and mainly in their 20s and early 30s who decided a couple of years ago that they were just sick and tired of being described as the losers of California and the losers of America and the losers of their generation. So they decided that they would try to figure out what it took to make a city work. And so they're registering people to vote. They're restoring parks. They're painting murals on abandoned buildings, picking up things around town, just trying to set an example of the city they'd like to see. Obviously, by itself, that doesn't bring jobs to a community. But it was impressive to us that they had put so much of their own effort into turning around a place they loved and wanted to make viable again.
I want you to tell me about Duluth, Minnesota, what you found there and then the bigger picture.
Duluth is a city I love. I first went there almost 20 years ago because the kind of airplane I fly, a Cirrus SR-22, is made there. It's a city that has gone from grandeur a century ago when it was one of the richest cities in the United States with timber and grain and ore from the Mesabi Range and all the rest there to complete collapse of all those old economy foundations. And now you have a number of people who've decided that they want to remake a high-tech and aerospace and medical tech and outdoors recreation economy there in Duluth. And so people have moved there to try to make it the hip city of the North. And indeed, it won Outside Magazine's poll as best city last year.
It also leads to this great phrase in this piece. You know, we think of technology in this country as like Silicon Valley and Boston and maybe outside Washington, and that's pretty much it. You characterize it, though, as an archipelago of technology centers, which I thought was great.
Yes, and what we discovered and meant to convey is how we know about the concentrations of talent and economic might in the big coastal cities. What most people don't know is how much more is going on in Duluth and in Columbus, Ohio, and in Fresno, and in Greenville, South Carolina, and Burlington, Vermont. So you have the sense not of a nation that's just emptying out towards the coast, but that has its strong coastal citadels, but then whose entire fabric is also full of people trying to reinvent in their own local circumstances, new industries, new lives.
All right, so let me get to the title of this piece then, How America is Putting Itself Back Together. On the cover, it's actually a question, can America put itself back together again? You talk about that in the last couple of paragraphs of this piece, in which you say, in essence, we need the national discussion to focus like the local discussion has.
I think anybody would admit or agree that this is a time of real trouble at national level politics and national level discourse in the United States. The parties don't agree on anything. Whatever you stand for nationally, you're likely to feel disappointed. At the same time, a lot of the places we saw, most of the places we saw, had figured out ways to engineer practical solutions to their disagreements and invest in their future and find ways to reinvent their schools, to teach people new skills and do all the other things we wish the country could do. It would be better if this were an era in our national politics where we could do that on some sort of national scale, but for various reasons that seems not feasible. So as a second best option, at least we have a counter narrative of parts of America that are functioning and are finding ways to put their own regions back together.
James Fallows is a national correspondent for The Atlantic magazine. He and his wife, Deb, and us every now and then have been out on the road for the past couple of years. Jim, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Kai. Thank you.